Our scripture reading this afternoon we find from the Old and New Testament. First, we turn to Exodus chapter 31 and read to verses 12 through 18. Exodus 31, then from the epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament, we read in chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. But first, the word of God in Exodus 31, starting at verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. We now turn to the New Testament, to the epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. There we start reading at verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the worlds. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's our scripture passage. On the basis of Scripture, we also echo the Word of God in our Heidelberg Catechism. And this afternoon, we have come to Lord's Day 38. The text for the sermon of this afternoon is the fourth commandment of the Lord in his law and what we confess about it in Lord's Day 38. There, the following question is asked, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord's Day 38, brothers and sisters, directs the attention to the fourth commandment. That's the commandment about the day of rest, or Sabbath day, today's Lord's Day. When we focus our attention on that day, we think of celebration. We worship and we rest. Quite often it also brings discussion to mind about the way we fill in this special day. That's when we become distracted so easily by questions about the things we should not do, the negative aspects, so to speak. Well, that's not the way Lord's Day 38 speaks about the fourth commandment or deals with the day of rest. In fact, it's striking how positive the treatment of the fourth commandment is in our Lord's Day of this afternoon. What are the things that come to mind that we can do? What are the goals and objectives we should pursue with a view to the Lord's Day? That's when the preachers come to mind, the worship services, and yes, the life with the Lord in all the days of our life. That's very positive and constructive for the unity of our life in the Lord. At the time when the Heidelberg Catechism was written, brothers and sisters, the people were helped even more in that awareness about the unity of their life in the Lord because they had church services every night of the week. This explains the expression in Lord's Day 38, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God. That's the new version of our Heidelberg Catechism. Worship and devotion were for all the days of the week for the Church of God, as they believed the fourth commandment required. And that's still so true. That was not just a leftover from the days they belonged to the Roman Catholic Church when there was a Mass every day. No, the services of the church served a much broader purpose. Most people couldn't read. So reading the Bible was done by listening to it in the church. Prayer, too, they had to learn, especially praying aloud. They learned it in the church. The care for the poor, the works of mercy, or the counseling of the people with problems took place after church. Hence, church life was the center of their daily life. What we do at home in terms of family worship, devotions, and personal Bible study, they practiced through the church. That's what placed the fourth commandment in the center of their life. For a new life, all the days. It affected their time, their agenda, their plans, and their style. It's in the same way the Heidelberg Catechism expresses the heart of the fourth commandment, beloved. That's a positive confession of a positive commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, dedicating it to the Lord, your God. The command not to work did not have a purpose in itself. It was to make room for time and attention and devotion to the Lord, their God. That was a sign of the covenant, as we saw in Exodus 31, verse 12. This sign served to impress upon God's people that their whole life was for the Lord. That they should trust in Him all their days, live for Him and work for Him. That's how they would learn to find their rest in God always. Then they learned to celebrate this rest in which they shared with the Lord. That's also our theme, our focal point. The Lord makes us share in His celebration of the day of rest. We see, first of all, its blessing, secondly, its purpose, and thirdly, its fulfillment. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. The Lord makes us share in His celebration of the day of rest. We pay attention to its blessing, its purpose, and its fulfillment. So first of all, the blessing of the day of rest. The division of a week into 6 work days and 1 day of rest, brothers and sisters, has a long history. Yes, it's as old as the world. Indeed, we have to go back to the beginning of the history of the world. The Lord God instituted the Sabbath day, that is, the day of rest, at the time of His creation of the world. So that's where we have to start as we are called to think about the meaning and purpose of this day, today also. Then we see the Lord at work 6 days in a row. In those 6 days, He completed everything He had planned to make. By His word, He created heaven and earth and all its creatures. On the 7th day, that great work was finished. That's when the Lord rested from all His labors. He came to rest and considered all He had made. He did so to enjoy it, to rejoice in His work. It's at that time that we enter the picture, beloved. Just on the 6th day, the Lord had created man. Then on the very first full day of man's life on earth, it was a special day, a day of rest. Adam's life started from the rest, which the Lord enjoyed. Adam's life began by sharing in his joy over his work. Before the Lord and man continued in their work, carrying out the plan and purpose with this work of creation, they first shared in this rest and joy. That's what determines the blessing and purpose of this day, still. On the Sabbath, we look at God's work. We share in our common joy, for He saw what He had made, and see, it was very good. That's first on our Sabbath too. In the preaching, we look at the Lord's work, His mighty deeds. That's how you learn to live for the Lord. You are living not for your work, but for the Lord. That's how you find rest in the midst of this world. Sure, Adam received a calling to work, to develop and preserve the earth, but only after he had rested in the Lord. Then we should realize as well, beloved, that after this day of rest, the Lord continued His work. He upholds all that He has created. He governs His creation. And then He included man in this task as well. So also in their work, they were united together. He made man the head of all His creatures. Man is God's fellow worker in his kingdom on earth, his steward and co-worker. Man also received a rich share in the produce, the profit of God's creation. The Lord provided in all man's needs. He gave a rich share in the business to his servants. Yes, during the continuation of the work, the Lord ensures that there is time to rest, week after week. 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, the day of rest, the day at which we look at the work and celebrate the rest. That's how we learn to be thankful and rejoice in the Lord, by taking time to rest. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, beloved. He filled that day with blessings. He made it a day filled with good gifts. He made it a day in which we may experience and enjoy the blessed nearness of the Lord, his care and protection. He made that day holy. He set it apart for his communion with men, for rejoicing and praise and thanksgiving. He gave a whole day for this life of God and man together to dwell on his works, to rejoice in his gifts, and to worship him in his glory and greatness. What a creator! Yes, and what a creator, beloved. That's how we have to remember the Lord initially. Then in the course of time, the Lord had to add another work of remembrance to this day, his work of deliverance. What a redeemer! That's the exclamation of joy and thanksgiving that's added to the holiness of the Sabbath. Set this day apart, not just to rejoice in your Creator, but also in your Savior. The Lord commanded Moses and the people of Israel. That's a clear addition to the law of the Lord in Deuteronomy 5. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Hence, the Sabbath was not just a day of creation, but also of liberation. Israel had been working as slaves 24/7. They had been driven by work, work, and more work, pressed to produce and produce more and more. It's the same kind of economy we see today, 24/7 economy. That's why we need the reminder every week again: first rest, then work. First the Lord, then our lives. And just as the Israelites, we need to take time to remember. That's why the Sabbath was enriched as a day of commemoration, a day of remembrance of all the great and mighty wonders the Lord had made. It became a day of enriched blessings because his people knew him more and more in his continued faithfulness and unfailing love in all his works of preservation and salvation. Well, all these aspects and elements in the celebration of the day of rest, brothers and sisters, have become so much richer and deeper in the New Testament Sabbath. Liberation and salvation for us, New Testament people of the Lord, means freedom from slavery to sin and death and the resurrection and renewal unto a new life. On the first day of the week, our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. He conquered the devil and his whole dominion, the powers of sin and death, and he set us free as well. He restored to us the creational day of rest. Again, we begin the week in joyful rest, and celebration and worship of God. That victory now is the main focus of the New Testament celebration of the Sabbath day, a day in which we rest in His restored peace and unity with God. That's a rest and peace which we may enjoy in communion with God before we set out in a new week of service in His kingdom. Now, as the Lord created the world and man by the word, so He makes this day of recreation a day of the word. We remember and commemorate by means of the word. We find rest and peace in His promises, in His word. He speaks to us and with us through His word, just like He did in paradise, at Mount Horeb, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior. So it's no wonder that in our day of rest, this word of the Lord is central to remind us how things were from the beginning, to remind us about the priorities of rest and work, and to remind us of the Lord's mighty hand and outstretched arm so as to move us to trust. The Lord takes away from our everyday busyness, our daily routines, also from our common problems, struggles, and worries. He calls us together as His church to hear the preaching of His word, morning and evening, as it has always been, as Psalm 92 showed us. Then we hear the Lord say, "I created the world and all that's in it, and see, it was very good." We hear also the Lord cry out at the cross, "It is finished." And on the day of rest, the song of praise, "Christ has risen, hallelujah." That's when the Lord comes to us, His people, saying, "What are you living for? What are you working for? What are you trying to do with your life? Rest, my children. Rest in me. Rest in my promises. See my works and trust in me. Rejoice in me always. Start a new week with me and take my blessings along. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with us all. That's how I come along with you into the new week. That's how I want to be there on Monday as well, and still on Saturday too." So that's first. What a blessing. We come to the purpose of the day of rest, our second point. It's really the wisdom of our Creator, brothers and sisters, that we receive the Sabbath day. He took care as well that this day of rest has been preserved to this day. It's the day that we see our Lord Jesus Christ at work. He is the one who gathers us as His congregation. He calls them together, those who are His. All those who belong to Christ also belong together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what we stress and confess every Lord's Day again. That's when we come together to hear God's word, the gospel that's preached to us. By it, our faith is strengthened, our service to God receives new incentives and perspectives. By it, our faith is strengthened, and we know the purpose of our life again. For this is the first purpose mentioned in Lord's Day 38 as well, for our celebration of the day of rest. That's how we share in the Lord's rest and continued work. So now it is our calling, beloved, to come together indeed, diligently. For this is where we are drawn by the Holy Spirit. Christ, our ascended Lord, wants us to come together, be that virtually at the present. Come together around his word to lead us into the whole truth about God and his work of creation and salvation. That's how we become enriched by his blessings, by his promises and his work of salvation. That's how the new life grows on us and in us. The communion also and the peace with God that's given to us by his word. For as the Lord says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. That denotes, therefore, the seriousness of the habit of some not to attend the services faithfully. Then you see a weakening in their faith, a weakening in their prioritizing and walking with the Lord also. Their rest is not so much a rest in the Lord, but more a self-designed rest, a self-designed joy in their own pursuits. We should be reminded, therefore, of the fact that we are called together, drawn by God's Holy Spirit to be together. For by nature we are not so inclined, not as eager to seek the Lord and his rest and his salvation. For the Lord's day is for the Lord, for covenant communion with the Lord. He wants us to be together with him, listen to him, celebrate communion with him also at his table. We should realize, beloved, that the general apostasy among our nation is evidence of such a decline in a life that's lived for the Lord. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. It's a great evil that the powers of unbelief and godless mentality have become so prevalent in our Western society. That's a process of decline that started with the neglect of the service to the Lord. That's evidenced by the loss of the day of the Lord. Hence, people's priorities are no longer in the Lord and his rest and service, but people live for themselves and their own joys and pleasures, rather than the joy of the communion with the Lord as he intended with this day. Now, since this day is a day of worship and a day for the purpose of the gathering of his people around his word, we should also remember that the Lord wants his people to be united in this pursuit. It's therefore not a good thing either if we would resign to the reality of the brokenness among his people. It is no good that not all true Christian believers are one people, united as one nation in one federation of churches, working together during the week also for the one kingdom of our God. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, the Apostle writes. That too is a purpose for the day of the Lord, a calling which we may not ignore or neglect because it seems too difficult to accomplish. May they be brought to complete unity, the Lord Jesus prayed the Father, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That's why we must reach out and call people along to our services, rather than resign to the brokenness and leave each and every one in the church of his choice. The unity of the Spirit and the peace of the Lord are enjoyed under the one proclamation of his word. then we enter the week two with that word, beloved. That's the purpose of our worship service and of our communion on the Lord's Day. Then our Sunday activities come along with us into the new week, so that we rest from our evil works all the days of our life and begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The fourth commandment, therefore, is a commandment that impacts your daily worship. It sets the stage for your daily prayers, for your decisions, your work, your studies, which you do in the Lord. The Lord's Day sets you on a path with the Lord, on which you listen to Him when you read His Word at the table, in your bedroom, or in the classroom. What's central on the Lord's Day is central during the week. Your lifestyle as God's children. And then we don't say, well, tomorrow we're going back to work again, back to the old rut, until we come back here next week for another audience with the Lord. No, we go on with our service for the Lord. Today's services spill over into the week, tomorrow and the day after. That's when we show that we are living for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is during all the days of our life that we really show how much we let the Lord work in us through His Spirit and Word on the Lord's Day. Our daily life truly displays what we believe about our God and how we live for our God. That's just like the way we show it in our relationships. When, as husband and wife, you live past each other and you don't really work on your life with each other, you show what your love for each other is really worth in your life. Or if you don't pay any attention to your children and neglect to live for your children, they will tell you sooner or later that you were never really interested in them. So what do you think the Lord our God would say if that's how we live for Him during the week? What the Lord wants us to hear and see on the Sabbath day, however, is His great love and grace for us, His mighty works of creation and salvation, so that we would trust in Him, live for Him, rejoice in Him all the days of the week. The Word of God, as it is proclaimed on the Sunday, activates us to make us doers of that Word. So we see that in the third place, the fulfillment of the day of rest. It's in this renewed life for the Lord, beloved, that we see the fulfillment of the Sabbath. We should not think that in the New Testament Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the Lord's fulfillment of the Sabbath was accomplished. On the contrary, it's in that life of every day, in that life of complete communion and service and joy in the Lord, that we see the fulfillment. That's then also the beginning of the eternal Sabbath. We receive a foretaste of it, not only in our Sunday worship, in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, or in the gathering of the communion of saints. No, the Sabbath is fulfilled in God's kingdom, in the new world, in the rest which we are beginning to enjoy from day to day. That's the rest of which the author of the letter to the Hebrews speaks in chapter 4. That's the rest of the new world for which the Lord is busy working every day. That's the rest, and that's the way on which He wants to take us along to the complete fulfillment on the day of the return of Christ. We are no longer slaves of Satan, beloved, slaves of sin. Neither are we slaves of our work or of our money or of our economy. You have been delivered from the bondage to sin and death in order that you may now serve in the kingdom of God and depend on the powers of God. Then we don't go along any longer with the cheating, the stealing, the deceiving of today's society. Then we don't have to live either with that paralyzing feeling that this life just keeps going, or your work just keeps going, or that the 24/7 rat race just keeps going indefinitely. There will be an end to your work in your sweat, to your life with pain and tears, and to your struggles from day to day. There's only one thing that goes on forever. That's the Word of God. It abides forever. Only what you will receive again at the end of this service will abide forever. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's how we may look forward then also to what is to come yet. For the Spirit of God has not come to the completion of his work yet. The great day of the consummation of God's eternal rest has not come yet. Still, he does promise to bring to us, to bring us into that rest. That's when the celebration of his rest will be perfect and complete for all God's children. That's when we will have come to the end of our struggles of faith also. That's when we may rest of all our works, and we will see that our labors in the Lord were not in vain. For we will enter into the feast of our Lord, and our works will follow us. Then our God will celebrate the feast of his Sabbath, the eternal rest, when we will share with him in the joy over all his works. It is finished, he will say. See, it is very, very good. Praise then also the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for his indescribable gift. Amen.